Blog Talk Radio. welcome to another episode of the Tony and Kai Show with your hosts, Kaixa Rodriguez and Tony Wade. We are so blessed to be here in your presence again tonight on this wonderful, wonderful Thursday evening. It is a beautiful day here in Virginia, which is where we are. And, you know, the weather has been pretty good. They said we were going to have thunderstorms all week. And luckily today we haven't had a raindrop. So I am so happy, so happy, so happy. I had a terrible, terrible, terrible migraine when I woke up this morning. Actually, this afternoon. I woke up at probably noon. So I had a terrible migraine, just ridiculously terrible. And I was almost thinking that I was going to have to leave Tony to do this show solo today, knowing that Tamika is more than willing and capable of the two of them handling it. She is a businesswoman extreme. But I found my last set of medication and split the dose so I could take one this morning and one before the show and be here for you guys. I figured if my boo could do it before and he couldn't move, then I can do it with a headache. So we are here, and we are grateful to be here with you. We thank all of you that are already here. My girl Lisa, always here. Our guest is here already. You know, we are just grateful. We are just grateful. So we are, as we normally do, let you know a little bit about us before we get to our guest. We've got about 5 minutes before we get to her. And as you know, currently right now, I am in the process of finishing up Beautiful, getting that ready to be released to you guys in July. And I hope that you guys will continue to support those of you who haven't. Please, please, please get your pre-orders in. You know, this month for May only, we're doing it. And they're just $10, which saves you $8 off the price of when it comes out in July. You know, it'll be a $15 book when it comes out in July, plus your shipping, handling, and all of that stuff. So for this month, you can get it in, and you'll have it before anyone else has it, and it'll be autographed, you know, all those little special pretty things that you don't get when you pre-order movies and you pre-order, you know, your games and stuff. You don't get no special prices. You don't get no, you know, extra benefits. You just get the thing before the day it comes out. So pre-order Beautiful, and you can get lots of extra incentives along with your pre-order. So, you know, check out my website, kaixarodriguez.webly.com. We are working on our websites as well. So within the next month, less than that, but I'm going to say month, we will have our official domain names. Mine will, Tony's will, Diamond Stars will, and then we'll work on the one for the Tony and Kai Show. So check us all out, you know, Tony, letter N, Kai, K-I-E, .webly.com, my website, kaixarodriguez.webly.com, Diamond Star Entertainment, .webly.com, and TonyWade.webly.com. You know, we love our Webly. But soon it'll be just Tony Wade and just Kaixa Rodriguez, and, you know, we can't wait for that day as well. Also wanted to let you guys know, On the Rise Magazine, .com is looking for poets, authors, musicians to interview and to put into their magazine. So you want to check them out, ontherisemagazine.com. Email hdspivey, S-P-I-V-E-Y, @hotmail.com for more information on that. You know, this is how we do, you know. DJ Davis is coming out with his book of poetry. That'll be for release, I believe, the end of next month. So check out middlesoul.com. He also is doing pre-orders for his book. There's just a lot of great things going on right now. I also believe Lashae Mitchell is working on taking some pre-orders for her book, LashaeJMitchell.com. You know, check everybody out. Tamika Newhouse, you know, that's, like I said, that's our guest today, so make sure that you check her out. Babe, anything you want to add? What's going on with Dark Justice? What's, you know, what's new in your hood?
And Dark Justice is on hold for a minute. We got stuff I got to do with Diamond Star, so everything that I'm working on, I put on temporary hold. so I can get stuff going with DSC. And that's what I've been doing, working with my website. I had to go back over my website, make sure that my website was copacetic, make sure that everything is the way it was supposed to be, so people can go there, because I hadn't been promoting that like I was supposed to. So making sure that that's in order. So now that's done. And that's about it for me right now. I'm just trying to big up Diamond Star from this point on, trying to make sure they're where they need to be. As the one that runs the company, you got to run the company. So that's what I'll be doing now, running the company, making sure that everybody's promotions are put into play. So if y'all have URLs that you want to, you know, put on the page, let us know. Let us know, and we will get it up and out on our pages. We will handle your business, because we do love promoting for people. It seems to be what Kai's been doing the majority of it, to be real with y'all. So, but it's something that we all want to do. It's our, something that we all need. We need promotion. We need to be able to get our word out there, get information out there on our product and everything. So if you have anything you need to do, anything you want promoted, rather, let us know, because we will get it promoted for you. We have your back at DSC, and we will make sure that it gets done.
Cool. Also, one of our other authors, David Stevens, got to make sure that we big him up. If you're married or thinking about getting married, and you want to know how to keep your marriage or future marriage running smoothly, you know, he has a series, three parts books, which we're going over, and he'll be on the show next month, the next 3 months, actually, one book per month. So that'll be a series you guys might definitely want to check into. In the meantime, in between time, check out his website, which is www.soundmarriages.com, and you know, purchase the book or check him out, see what he's all about. I like the last book, you know, it's, what is that? Now I can't remember the freaking name of it. That's, you know, that little song where you say marriage, marriage, and then the baby carriage, whatever that little saying is. Love, marriage, and the baby carriage. There you go. That's the title of book three. So I can't wait to get to book three. But book one is the rules, you know, check them out, check him out, And make sure that you go by the Diamond Star Entertainment website and the Tony and Kai website. You know, you can hit that up and see our schedule, see who we got coming on, see what dates are still available right now. We're actually booking into August. We've been throwing around the idea of adding another day so that we don't have to push you guys back way so far. So that is an option that we're still throwing around and seeing, you know, how we can work that into our already hectic, busy schedule. But, you know, you guys are what make us, so this is what we do. So we're going to bring our guest on, because she has been patiently waiting, and, you know, you guys please make sure that you support and you know, check her out later on and hit up her website and all that good stuff. So, Mika, dear, how are you?
Hi, ma'am. How are you doing? I'm excellent. I'm working, doing what I do, and trying to stay consistent. How are you doing?
I am better.
Yeah, you sound a lot better.
I'm better. You
talking soft, so I'm going to make sure that I don't talk really loud, because I know my voice can really carry.
Thank you. So, Mika, we go back, you know, right, probably shortly after you began AAMBC, we first connected on
right.
Facebook. Or no,
no,
it was
MySpace.
Yep, MySpace.
Right. It was, I don't know the exact month, but I know I launched AAMBC in February of 2008, and then me and you probably connected within a month or two of me doing that. For
yes.
those who don't know, Kai was, what, you was the promotions coordinator for AAMBC.
Yeah, I've been doing promotions forever.
And let me see. Yeah, I think you did that. You held that down for about a year and a half. You did it for a very long time, and was a part of the AAMBC street team. And I mean, you was just doing the most. So yeah, I mean, like you started with me at the very beginning. So that's something I'm gonna always remember.
Yeah, I just kind of fell off of stuff. You know, I go through my stages. I am so on it now, though. There's no falling off of anything that I'm doing anymore. I go through those little depression stages, and I just cut people off and stop doing stuff and stop focusing. But that is no longer Kai anymore.
Well, you know what? I definitely understand. It's life, pretty much. Life happens, and you never know what can transpire. Like, just recently, a couple months ago, I got, like, really, really sick. A lot of folks don't necessarily know, because I didn't put it out there, but folks didn't realize I wasn't on, like, my phone or Facebook or anything like that for, like, 5 days. And I was dealing with exhaustion. I was dehydrated. And unfortunately, I had to be hospitalized, but I'm doing a lot better, and I'm actually, like, back to how I used to be, and I'm just keeping it moving.
There you go. Now, what made you back in 08? What was your desire or your creative process, or what was that moment that said, I think I need to do this, you know, the AAMBC? Where did that come from?
Well, I was in college back in 08 at a local college here in San Antonio, and I know there was an African-American group here. It was like African-American men on the move. And it was I'm not necessarily sure what they did or you know, their concept of it, but that title always stuck with me because on the move it made me feel like they were doing something, like it was some type of movement or something going on. And around that time, I was in, I wanted to be a part of a book club. And I'm not originally from San Antonio. So when I came to the city, I didn't know anybody. I thought it was weird for me to walk up to other sisters and say, I like to read. Do you read too? You want to be in a book club together? You want to be my friend? I thought that was really weird. So versus me actually doing that, I just took to my MySpace page. And just started, you started posting up books and things I read. And then I started getting messages and things from other authors who I never heard of. And it really surprised me because, you know, the only people I ever heard of were people that were, for instance, inside of Black Expressions. And unfortunately, mm-hmm. back then, you would see a lot of the same artists in that magazine. So I thought that was like the majority of the people that ever existed that wrote, you know, urban fiction books or geared towards Black readers. And when I saw all these other authors emailing me on my site, I was like, wait a minute, there's a lot more. Maybe I should read their books, post their books, and tell people to read their books. And lo and behold, that's when I created African Americans on the Move Book Club and just started, you know, just posting stuff. And I learned the industry through so many other authors. Ella Curry ended up becoming one of my mentors. She taught me how to market, what was good, what wasn't good. She even introduced me to a self-publishing manual. And from there, I started doing a lot of my own research. And I just, you know, you kind of go into your own after that. And so that's what I did.
Wow.
Tamika, what's the hard part of what you have to do? I know you're big, you bring it, and there's a lot you're involved in. What's the hard part to what it is that you do?
Let me see. The hard part is, to me, it's really just staying consistent because we're all human, and, you know, at some point you get tired and you just want to rest. And not too long ago, like a few days ago, I was remembering the time when I wasn't in this industry because this industry is a whole other world. And ironically, in this world, I'm considered something larger than what I portray myself to be in the real world. You get what I'm saying? If I'm making sense.
Mm-hmm.
I have to get used to people calling me Tamika Newhouse versus my family just calling me Mika. To me, that's who I am. I'm just plain old Mika. But in this industry, I'm somebody totally different. And I was trying to remember how it felt to just be that person because I'm constantly working, I'm constantly doing things, and I work with a lot of other authors and I promote a lot of other authors. I do a lot of sacrificing and use a lot of my own time and my own day for other authors versus, you know, doing things for myself. So although I believe I do selfless work, that's one of the hard things is just staying consistent. And also I deal with a lot of artists and a lot of personalities, and it's not always a great personality. So, you know, in the midst of all that, you come across people, I don't know how to necessarily explain it, but people that you necessarily do not need to deal with. You know, they have alternative motives and things of that nature. So, and because I am a marketer and I am considered a publicist, I have to deal with all these Arthurs only because I choose to. That is true. I do choose to do this. But in the midst of that, the downfall is to deal with, you know, a lot of different artists, a lot of different demands, a lot of different personalities. And sometimes you come across folks that you don't even deal with. And also, when you are successful or you're consistent at a certain thing, there comes a point in time where you do develop people that may not necessarily like you. You do come across people who don't even wish success for you, for whatever apparent reason. And I have come across that, and I have been tried to be beat down emotionally and things like that. But my thing is, if you can make it through that in any part of your life, in this industry, in any aspect, not just this industry alone, I feel like that's going to make you a stronger person. And it does make me a stronger person. All I got to do is overlook it and just keep it moving, because at the end of the day, I'm in this because I want people to read my book. I like to write, and I want people to read my writing because I feel like my writing is unique. And I feel like the writing is unique.
Now, we know that you said staying consistent was your, mm-hmm. you know, that was one of the difficult parts. And we know that there are those, you know, that we know why. How is it that you deal, how do you deal with staying consistent? How do you stay consistent in a demanding career field like such as this? How do you stay consistent? Because it is a hard thing. It's a very hard thing. How do you do it?
It's very, very hard. I think you have to have a type of obsession. You have to be obsessed about this. If you're not obsessed about it, if you don't live it, dream it, breathe it, there's going to be a point in time where you're going to become discouraged or tired and want to give up. But my thing is, I'm too obsessed to give up. I don't see myself doing anything else. I've been writing since I was 8 years old. First and foremost, that's what I do, and I believe that's part of who I am. I don't believe that I became this person. I don't believe that I just so happened to jump into this industry. You are who you are, and I've been writing. That's how I've relieved, you know, all of my, you know, my thoughts and my emotions. It pours out through my writing. And the way I just stay consistent is just have an obsession, have a schedule, and make sure that at the end of the day I fulfill everything that I want to do. And part of me promoting for the artist is that fulfillment.
Mm-hmm. Now, staying consistent, I mean, well, not staying consistent, but when you do have to stay on track like that, when you have to be, the word you use, obsessed, which is the more I hear, the more sense it makes. But at the same time, you also mentioned you can get worn down. Now, with the obsession, do you think being too obsessed can wear you down at the same time? Because I would say if I'm super obsessed, then I'm constantly on the beat. And if you're obsessed, a lot of times you don't want to take that necessary time because you just got to get stuff done. There's just stuff that you want to do, and you need to stay busy. You want to stay busy. You have goals. But doesn't that tear you down to some point or at some level?
Yes, it does. It definitely does. And it can tear you down physically or mentally. And I've experienced both ends of that. But like I said, this is something that I want to, it's something that I want to do, and I want to continue to do it because I feel like if I don't do it, I'm not going to be satisfied. I'm going to go through life wondering, having regrets, and I don't want to do that. I want to live my life to the fullest, and I believe that I am doing that, and that's part of the sacrifice that you take on. You know, life isn't perfect. It isn't a perfect picture, so you kind of have to take the good with the bad. And sometimes, you know, being beat down mentally and physically, you know, that's the bad part.
Right. Well, see, what you saying that, I'm going to, because I did, it was a fight for, and I mentioned it this week, we were talking, and it was about, you know, taking time and everything, and I've been hard, like I was hard on Kai about it because she can be obsessive as far as I'm concerned. That's just my opinion, though, but she can be obsessive with it. But listening to you talk about how it's sometimes necessary, and I totally do believe that, so I'm not going there. I need to learn how to be totally obsessed myself with what I'm supposed to be doing, because I think that it. You're right. It. You can't get stuff done if you don't do it. I just get worried sometimes concerning you know, am I going to get worn down? Am I going to tear, you know, allow myself to be torn down by this? So I tend to hold back, you know. But
no,
I think you're absolutely
don't.
Right.
Yeah, don't do that. Mm-hmm. I mean, I wouldn't hold back because, like I say, you just don't. First of all, let's do it while we're young, you know. Let's go ahead and do it while we're young. And because when we get older, obviously, we want to, you know, we want to slow down or we just want to enjoy life. And I'm still in my 20s, and I like to tell people that when you're in your 20s, regardless of what you're doing, you're trying to build a foundation. You're in school, you're working, trying to, you know, build up that position at your job. Like, you're working to make a foundation. So your 20s aren't always going to be as good as your 30s or your 40s. You get what I'm saying? Because by that time, you work so long and so hard that you become more established. And I feel like that's the area that I'm in right now. I'm making my foundation. And I know that it's not going to last like this forever. And when I finally get to that point when I feel like, oh, I can relax a little bit, it's going to be all the more worth it. I'm going to look back on all these times that I cried, that I want to give up, that I was tired, that I was broke. And I'm going to look at them and say, look where the hell I came from. I kept it up. I did it. I didn't give up. I didn't give them what they wanted. So just keep doing it until you get to that success level that you want to get to.
Yeah. I was saying, like, if you were mentioning, I just posted it in the room as well. Last night we were watching American Idol, and Beyonce was saying, you know, that when she goes on stage, she has to become a different person because she's shy and reserved. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when she gets on stage, she's got to put on this face. She's got to be this overly, you know, outrageous, you know, she's got to put on her game face. And I know for me and a lot of other authors, I don't know if it's true for you, Mika, but, you know, it's you have to be that other person. Everyone's not comfortable at a book signing with a million people looking at them, smiling and Googling all over them. You know, everyone's not comfortable saying, buy my book. Everyone's not comfortable walking down the street, handing out flyers and stuff like that to people they don't know. But to be a successful author, you have to be able to put on that game face and get in business mode. You know, we had the show on Monday. You got to be, books are your business. This is your business. You know, whether you got a 9-to-5 or not, you wrote a book to sell it. You wrote a book to, you know, to be successful selling it. Whether you want to be, you know, a best-known author or not, you still wrote the book for people to buy it. So, you know, at some point you got to be able to put on that game face and say, okay, I'm in book-selling mode, I'm in author mode, I'm in publicist mode, I'm in, you know, promoter mode, whatever. And right now I got to be willing to walk down the street and hand out flyers and walk up to people and say, hey, you know, I wrote a book, you know, take a second, read this flyer if you like it. Here's the way, you know, that's hard for me. How did you, were you comfortable with that when you first started to do, you know, like you, I know on the internet it may be a little bit easier, and for some it's not even easy to do that on the internet. You know, was that a part of this that you had to step into, or was that easy for you?
I'm glad you mentioned that because, to be honest, like, I am naturally a homebody. I'm just giving an example. When I got married to my husband, I didn't go into, well, not even married, when I was dating him, because, you know, I've been knowing him since I was, like, 14. And when I started going places with him, to, you know, where his family and things may be, I didn't step out of the car to go meet his father, say hello to them for almost 4 years. I was sitting in the car waiting for him to come back out. That's how antisocial I was. I didn't like talking to people. I liked to stay at home and just watch TV. That was me. When it came to doing a book signing, I felt like I was definitely out of my element. I felt like the pink elephant in the room. And I had to become somebody else. And so now when I'm out there, I'm still like that. I'm still a homebody. I still like to be at home. But now when I go out there and to do my book signings, I become a totally different person. There's somebody in the chat room that says, I have an alter ego. And I actually do. And my alter ego's name is Remy. Based off the, you know, named after the alcohol. That's a whole other story that we can't talk about on the show because it's kind of. but my alter ego name is Remy. She's bold. She's outspoken. She's fun. She's witty. She's the life of the party, pretty much. And you know, she makes jokes. She's able to talk to people. You know, things like that. So I put her on. And I go out there and I sell my books. You know, but I'm trying to be fair. Like, if I'm traveling and I paid money, to be in Maryland, and when I live in Texas, oh, I'm not going to sit here and be shy. I'm trying to, you know, make sure I make my money back. So I have to make sure that I am somebody else. And you can call it fake or whatever case may be, but I call it putting on a performance.
Yes, exactly, exactly, exactly. It's, yeah, I'm like you. I'm the shy. But the funny thing about me is I like I told Tony when we moved, I was like, we got to get the yard together. We got to get, you know, patios over there because I want to have people over. But I'm the shy, quiet one. You know, we could be at a family gathering and I'd be the one over to the corner all by myself. But we'll die if we don't have a family gathering. You know, but, yeah, I'm, you know, when even when I perform poetry in front of people, even performing on the phone, like we've done poetry shows on the phone, and I'll be sitting here drenched in sweat, nervous, and y'all can't even see me. And I'm still drenched in sweat. So,
but yeah, I encourage any artist to definitely develop an alter ego if you're not natural like that, and just, you know, push through it and get over it. Because at the end of the day, like you said earlier, this is a business. And one of my Arthur friends, a good friend of mine, Jillian Benjamin, always says that the Arthur is the brand, not the book. The book is just a part of who you are. So you're going out there to brand yourself. So make sure that you are presentable, you know, and you're branding yourself, and you make sure that when people meet you that they can remember you. Look the part, act the part, you know, be the part.
Now, when you decided to write, I know you started, did you start with the intent when you started AAMBC? Did you know you wanted to write books, or was it just, you know, did that develop later?
No, I had wrote a book 2 years before I started AAMBC. It was actually my second book. I wrote my first novel at the age of 12, and then I turned around and wrote my second novel at the age of, what was I, 19? No, I was 20. Let me take that back. I was 20. I started writing it 30 days after my mother passed, because as I say, writing was my scapegoat, and that's when I wrote The Ultimate No-No, which went on to be picked up by Defina Books for mass market distribution, and I'm very excited about that, so I have to plug that in a little bit. But when I started AAMBC, I had a dream to be a published author. I always had dreams since I was 12 years old, and I had finished my first book. But after I started AAMBC and I started meeting all of these other authors, I found out that I could publish my own book. I had no idea that I could do it myself. I thought I had to get a contract and a big publishing house had to publish my book. Like, I looked at it like a far-fetched dream, like me becoming Beyonce, like Beyonce getting a record deal. I thought that's how it was. I thought, you know, me getting a book deal like that was a far-fetched dream. So it was just always something I wanted to do, but I didn't know that I could actually make that dream come true myself. And I believe that's one of the reasons why God allowed me to create AAMBC. Because I was meant to have a book published, and I eventually did gain that contract, but it was after I put in the hard work myself. So to answer your question, I did not have the intentions on publishing a book until I discovered that I could do it myself.
Wow. Wow. See, that's interesting. That's interesting. Now, I loved The Ultimate No-No. I loved that. I loved it. Even though somebody stole my book. I still love it.
What?
I'm so
I can't believe it.
I'm so mad. I told you somebody snatched it. I found my anthology. I do have that, but somebody stole my Ultimate No-No. I'm so upset, but, you know, it's okay.
Man, it's all messed up. I hope they read it.
That's okay. I guess that's a testament. You know, that's a testament. Somebody saw it, was like, oh, this is good. We just going to stick this in our pocket.
Right. I can brag, say I got folks stealing my books, y'all.
Now, where did that one come from? I mean, because you've got a few under your belt, and they're all doing really well. So, you know, where do you come up with your ideas for your stories?
Oh, now, I don't even think I necessarily think about it, but I know that when I'm developing a storyline, it's always more than one storyline in my books. I feel like you can't put the book down after, you know, when you start reading my book, because you have so many different storylines going on and you want to know what's going to happen. And when I wrote The Ultimate No-No, I wrote it for pure entertainment, not knowing that somebody else was going to read it. So my writing naturally was like that. And I always tell people that my first book is my best book, which, you know, it should be the other way around. It should be like my latest book is my best book. But I believe that The Ultimate No-No is my best book because I wrote it before I even came into this world. I wrote it before I even know that this world existed. So it's pure, in my opinion. It's it's untouched. Like, I would never be that person again because I'm in this world now. You know, you just understand what I'm saying. So now when I go into, I know when I went into writing the follow-up to The Ultimate No-No, I was tripping because I knew hands down that people were going to be reading that book now. But when I finished The Ultimate Moment, No Regrets, which came out like 9 months after The Ultimate No-No, I was scared to see what people would think because I knew I was writing this, knowing people that were going to be reading it. And lo and behold, my feedback was that my writing was a lot better. My story development, character development was a lot better. So that made me feel great. I felt like, okay, I can do this, and I think I can be in this world and write. Because, you're going to be scrutinized and you're going to be judged anyway because you're a writer. And people, it's like me being a musician. People are going to judge my music. And so writing is my music. And people are going to judge it if it's good or not. And so I don't necessarily go into, I write a treatment, and I write a synopsis. And I write, a character's bio and things like that. And because I have so many characters in my book, I have to make sure I write my characters' names down and who exactly they are because I don't write a book when there's like 4 characters. I write a book when there's like 10 or 12. It's like a whole big stuff going on. So that's the only thing necessarily that I'll do when it goes into writing a book. I was just doing it now, writing a treatment to something I can't really talk about yet because I'm going to surprise people with this one. But that's pretty much how I do is just write a treatment and, then I just go from there. And I don't worry about what people are going to think and if it's going to be good. I just write.
There you go. Now, I was looking, and this has been a discussion that, many of the groups have had. I was looking at your website when, trying to catch up. Like, I need, got to catch up on Mika. You got to catch up on this girl. A lot of, I've seen, your books are all available on Kindle. And we've seen, this is going to probably be a two-part question. we've seen, you've seen Kindle prices from $10 to 99 cents. And, a lot of yours, the ones that I've seen were like $99 to $2, $3. Do you think, now my thought is, okay, if it costs you $5 to print your book, why is your e-copy $10? That's my thought. It doesn't cost you that much to put it into print. So why does it cost so much more to upload it one time and you never got to touch it again? That's my thought. What is your thought on that?
When it comes to pricing the ebook, I'm totally in agreement with your ebooks need to be a lot cheaper. Like my ebooks do not go over like $6.99 because it doesn't require me to do anything, And I feel like that I would get a lot more exposure. With my books being, more affordable, because there's a lot of people out there that, their ebooks may be 99 cents to $2.99 to $1.99, things like that. And I recently did my ebooks standardly would do anywhere from about 300 to 500 ebooks a month. And I changed it up one time and said, let me make this book 99 cents. That month alone, that month, before even the month was over, I had already hit 1,000 downloads. So it all depends on the fact on how much exposure you want. And I feel like if you take your price down, and sometimes it's not always about the money, especially when you're trying to build a fan base. And I feel like I'm still building a fan base. There's always somebody out there who has not read my book. And so that's why I feel like if you can take that sacrifice and bring your price down to something that's really, really cheap, those readers are going to go ahead and take a chance on you even more. Because, hey, it's only a couple bucks they're going to be spending. And lo and behold, if they like that book, they're going to go and check out your next one. Then your next one. And before you know it, you have a readership. You have a fan base. You have a following. So that's those things that I do. And as far as breaking down the price. And I feel like that they should be a lot cheaper. But let's go ahead and take it to, like, celebrity writers or popular writers like Nan Monroe, Mary Morrison, Eric Jerome Dickey, Omar Tari, people like that. You will go on the website and you will see their ebooks $9.99, things like that. Like, I think I saw, the Tyrese ebook. It was, like, $14 or something like that. It was out there. But, like, those people charge that much for that book because those people have, you know, a fan base of millions, and they know that these people are going to buy that book regardless for that price. So it really depends on how your fan base is. If I get as popular as 10 Hank Millen, hey, I may perhaps do, like, a $6.99 all across the board or, you know, even $8.99, whatever, for my ebook because I know that people will do that. And as you worked so hard in the beginning, you sacrificed so much and you spent so much more so much money, when you finally get to that level, I think you should probably, you know, wallow in it for a little bit. And if those people are willing to spend that money on you, let them. I don't think there's anything wrong with it. You invested so much into your career. How about it's time for you to benefit from it?
Yeah. Now, the other part to that question was, how important is your cover? Now, I've heard, you know, this is that debate that can go on forever, but, you know, some people say, well, you know, if they open it up and they read it and they think it's good, they're not going to care about the cover. Others say, well, the cover is the first thing you see. You know, some people may see, you know, and I don't mean that the cover isn't, you know, interesting, like a bland cover. I mean, like a poorly executed cover where you can tell, you know, it looks cheap. It looks inexpensive. It looks, not that you got to spend thousands of dollars, but, you know, where the pictures are distorted or it looks like you stuck a picture on a paper and copied it to make your cover. That is what I mean when I say, you know, looks crappy, you know, type covers. You know, do covers sell books or is it the content?
It's definitely the cover. It's because the first thing, people don't initially see the interior. The interior is the actual book, the inside. They don't see the story when they first glance at the book. They see the cover. And if the cover isn't appealing and if it isn't designed right, if the words are too small, and, you know, if the picture looks like somebody, like a child hand drew it, like, it's going to be overlooked. It's going to, you know, to them, they're going to turn their nose up at it, and then they're going to overlook it and go to something else. And at the end of the day, you need to be able to compete with top sellers. I want my book to be able to sit next to a Mary B. Morrison book and not look like it's self-published. And when I say self-published, it's exactly what it means. A lot of, and we had self-published artists have a reputation of cutting corners. And when I say that, they try to cut corners with spending. And when you try to, you know, spend less, like, oh, I don't want to spend $800 on an editor. I'm gonna spend $300 for this editor. Really? Well, how are they editing your book for $300? You have to understand that when you pay someone a certain amount of money, the quality of their work comes into play. So I know if I'm paying my publicist $150, when I know good and well I should be paying my publicist about $600 to $800 a month, do you think they're going to give me the same hardcore work for $150? I don't think so.
Well, basically, it comes down to you get what you pay for.
Exactly, you get what you pay for. That's exactly. You said it best. I'm being out long with it. That's the best way to say it, Tony. It's exactly like that. You get what you pay for. And I feel like if you don't invest in yourself and create a great quality product, why should people buy your book if you can't even invest in yourself? I don't get it.
Now, this is an expensive business, and I know a lot of people when they get into it, they don't really understand that, which is why, unfortunately, too many of us, and I want to say that's why, because there are ways. You know, there are graphic designers that'll do payment plans with you. It just takes longer. I think a lot of us are impatient. You know, we just think we can just write a book, put it out, slap something on there, and, wow, I got a book. Okay, there you go. But what it does is, you know, it's kind of that the one bad apple spoils the whole bunch. You know, we've got a lot of bad apples in the self-publishing industry that, you know, they continue to put out poor products, and so you harm the whole entire industry as a whole.
Exactly. It's like one bad apple can rotten up the whole tree. And that's exactly true. This is why, you know, publishers, or not publishers, but bookstores do not take a chance on us, because that one can ruin, you know, the whole bunch. And, you know, I've only been in this industry for 4 years, which is really, really short. And the times I've been in, the industry has totally changed. And it's you have to learn to adapt to all changes and everything that goes on in this industry. And, and my thing is, you cannot compete, and if you cannot put out a quality product, just quit. Like, this industry has, like, so many self-published artists. It's ridiculous. Everywhere I turn around, somebody's self-publishing a book. And not necessarily self-publishing it right. You know, they may put it under a company like Arthur House or Zebris or Outskirts. That's not self-publishing. Going under a subsidy publisher is not self-publishing. I want artists to understand that. That is not self-publishing. That's going through a company that's doing it for you. You're trusting them to give you a book cover. And sometimes they don't even give you a book cover. They give you a template. And a template is something that can be on hundreds of other books. And then they're going to say they edit your book when they normally don't. You get your product and you see all these errors. I mean, it's just, that's just not a smart move, which is why I go out of my way to help authors to actually self-publish and do it correctly. But it really makes my skin crawl when I'm talking to new authors who, you know, just now get into the industry. And they're under those type of companies, and I'm trying to stress to them that they did not self-publish, and for the life of them, they believe they did. So you know what? I just keep it moving, because there's no point in me, you know, wasting my breath and my energy for someone who doesn't want to listen, you know, or, you know, at least say something, take some advice. Not to say I know everything in the whole business, but if I'm willing to offer some advice, can you please listen and then research what I tell you? You don't necessarily have to take my, you know, take my word for it, but go, you know, go and look it up and see if what I'm telling you is true. Go ask somebody. I always tell people, research me, because just because I tell you I'm a good person doesn't necessarily mean that I'm a good person unless you ask somebody else. I'm going to be my biggest cheerleader.
Mm-hmm.
So it's the same in every aspect, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
What
did I
exactly
ask the question?
What exactly is, to you, Tamika, what exactly is, just so people know, what exactly is, to you, what is self-publishing? I mean, I'm hearing, because when it comes to me, like somebody that was trying to put out a book, it's like, okay, if I'm going to say I'm self-publishing, but I'm up here doing certain things, I'm thinking I'm doing it myself, so I'm automatically thinking, okay, well, that's self-publishing. But like you said, if somebody else is doing the work for you, if they're doing it, then it's not self-publishing. What exactly is your definition of self-publishing?
My definition of self-publishing is creating your own brand, your own company, getting your own licensing, and creating your book and everything from scratch, doing it your own, hiring your cover designer, hiring your editor, hiring your typesetter, purchasing your own ISBNs, creating your own website, you know, getting your LLC or your DBA or whatever the case may be, and bam, you're your own boss. And my mm-hmm. thing is, there's steps for you to follow, and it's really not hard. It's doable, in my opinion. It's not easy, but it's not hard. In my opinion, it's doable as long as you follow those steps, and you know, you do things in order. I believe that anyone can truly self-publish their own book. But to be honest, not everybody needs to be, you know, needs to publish their own book. You know, not everybody can do it, because people don't understand. When you publish your book, that's not it. That's the easy part. That's really, really easy. I can publish books all day. You know, I just need to open me up a publishing company, you know, and just, just publish other people's books. That's what I mean. You know, because that's the easy part. But getting people to know that this book is out there, and you want people to reach your book, and you want them to get into the bookstores, you want to get into the vendors, you want to get into the mom-and-pop stores, all that, you know, that requires a 24/7 job, continuous hustle. And people don't understand that. So not everybody needs to be self-published. And what really irks me is, say, for instance, you did self-publish the right way, and your book been out 6 months. You call yourself a publisher, and now you're trying to bring in somebody else and publish them? How? You don't even know what you're doing yet. I don't get it. Your book's been out 6 months. You haven't even gave yourself enough time to make mistakes and to learn this industry before calling yourself a publisher of somebody else. These people are trusting you with their book and, you know, with their dream and with their product, and you can't even fulfill it. I don't get it. How are you a publisher? Please let me know. I just need artists to research and just be smart about the things that they're doing. If somebody called themselves a publisher, look at their website, look at their information. If the website is a hot mess it's not even completely done. You may see some typos or whatever the case may be. It's a self-made website, whatever. Like, stuff like that defines what kind of how serious that person is. And if you end up with a bad publisher, and I only blame that on that author, that person, because you obviously should have did your research. Don't sit here and listen to that person tell you that they can do this, they can do that, they can get your book into the thousands and things like that, and then don't go and Google their name. And then don't go and ask somebody else about them. Have you heard of such and such? Is that book in your store? You know, have they did this, have they did that? Come on, man. Like, if you can't do that simple stuff, please keep it moving. Don't get in this industry. Like, that really upsets me. I don't get it.
Now, what is, because you publish, what is your criteria? What do you look for someone who may be listening and looking for, you know, a publisher or looking to, you know, to branch out, looking for their options? You know, what is your criteria, and what should people, in your opinion, what should people be looking for in a publisher when they go to someone's website and it says, you know, that they publish books? Because I've seen both. I've seen, you know, the two different types. You know, the full publishing where you go to someone's site and there's no money out of your pocket. They take your manuscript and they do 100% of everything. And then
right.
You have the publisher who's like, you know, a Lulu or something, where you pay them X amount of money and they do everything for you, but you own your book, just that they did all the footwork for you.
Right. There's always a fine line when it goes to stuff like that. When people have on their website, oh, we'll do everything for you. This is the bottom line price right here. There's no hidden fees or anything like that. All you got to do is pay us $3,000 and we do everything for you, and bam, your book is out. There's always a fine line. When you sign that contract, make sure that when it comes to getting your royalties and things like that, they're not getting a percentage. You know, just small things like that you could really, really miss. And at the end of the day, you can get yourself out of that contract. I always research, you know, things. I can't stress research enough. You know, like, you really have to research and you have to really do your homework. Take your contract to a lawyer and have them read it. What I personally look in, you know, qualities in an author, I am an independent publisher. That's why I call myself. And that means I do everything on my own. That means I handle all of my distribution. And the authors that I choose to bring on, and I feel like I can push their product, they have to be, because I am independent, my criteria is you have to be strong-willed and you have to be a hustler too. Because my thing is, I'm doing so much on my own that I can't have anybody that's going to be weight on me. You get what I'm saying? You have to be able to carry your own weight. And it's not just with any independent publisher. With a major publishing label, you have to be able to go out there and self-promote and get yourself out there. Do your book signings. Let people know that you have a book out. Get your bookmarks. Go out there and hustle and meet and greet and network with folks. You still have to do that footwork, because a publisher doesn't necessarily guarantee that. That they're going to market you. They don't guarantee that at all. So any author who is not satisfied, for instance, with their book sales, well, I want you to sit back and I want you to evaluate what you've done yourself. If you've done one book signing in 3 months and you're complaining saying, why are my book sales so low? Okay, well, ain't this supposed to be a teamwork? You know, what exactly have you done? Now, a lot of publisher, to me, in my opinion, and I could be wrong, and anybody definitely can, you know, say, oh, I don't agree with that. Hey, by all means, we all have our opinion. But in my opinion, a publisher really focuses on your distribution and making sure that your books can get out there into the hands of the people. But it's not necessarily up for you. If readers don't like your book or pick up their book, if there's no buzz, if they don't know who this person is, well, then that doesn't necessarily fall on the publisher. The publisher focuses on distribution and getting the books out there for readers to get for easy access for those readers. But a lot of the book and the marketing and things like that does deal with, you know, publicists and the author itself. And then the publisher does do some marketing, but it's really not their criteria to do the bulk of the marketing of the book. A lot of authors don't necessarily know that. But because of who I am, I do a lot of my footwork and, you know, a lot of my marketing, you know, which is why I'm constantly working. But not all publishers do that. So when authors are looking to, you know, go with a publisher, you know, see what they can offer them. You know, can they get their books in the store? You know, are you going to do some marketing too? Are you going to help me get interviews and blog features? Can I get some magazine features and things like that as well? See, a publisher doesn't really do that. You know, that's a publicist.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you just have to really research and know what you're doing.
Now, is Delphine, right?
Yes, Delphine Publications is my company.
Are you accepting submissions at this time?
I'm always accepting submissions, but to be honest, I do. It's very rare that I sign somebody from a submission that they have submitted off the information off my website. It's very, 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 very rare. And my label is really small. I like to keep it small because, like I said, I'm independent. Everyone that I have signed onto Delphine Publications is because I've dealt with them personally, or I saw their work ethics, or I knew them personally, I met them in person, or whatever the case may be. Like my latest author, which is Norris Pimpton Jr., he's going to be coming out with a book early next year. I met him in person. We sat down and talked. And I said, I think I can do, and my thing was I felt like I could do something with him. I felt like he's marketable. I liked his look. I liked the way that he wrote. I felt like he was a whole entire package. So it's very rare that I find anybody that does, you know, a submission through my website. I don't know. I really don't know why that's the case, but it is the case.
Now, oh, my goodness, I just lost my train of thought.
And then I'll be talking to Miss.
No, that's good. See, that I like that, though, because when I lose my train of thought, I just be like, Mika, say something. I know what I was about to ask you. AAMBC, how does someone get involved? Is it for, you know, are authors part of AAMBC? Is it for readers? Is it for both? And then what's the process? You know, what does AAMBC, you know, what do they do? What do they offer? How does someone become a member?
Well, anyone can become a member of AAMBC. All you have to do is go to our website, subscribe to it, and follow us and just stay involved. I tell people, I get asked all the time, how can I become a member? Just start being involved. Just start going and looking at our books. And I always encourage people to please go in there and tell somebody about it. If you don't tell somebody about AAMBC, at least tell somebody about the artists that we're promoting, because word of mouth is the key. That's how we become more successful, is by somebody actually talking about our books. It's for any author. I really cater to the independent author or the unknown or the new. You could be new and under a traditional publisher as well. But I really cater to those authors because, like I said before, when I got into this industry, the only mostly ever saw were in, you know, the magazines of Essence or Black Expressions. And those were the same people all the time. So I didn't want to do that. I didn't want to be another website that had the same books on there. And even now, not to knock Black Expressions, but now they have a lot more independent publishers and self-published authors' books in their catalog. So I'm really excited about that because it's really, really changing. It's really, really evolving. But I still want to make sure that AAMBC, when you go to their website, you see a book you haven't seen on any other website. So any author who is interested in getting their book exposed, or, you know, getting an extra boost, definitely hit me up because what I guarantee is exposure because that's what I do. I know all of my stats, because I do all of my footwork and I do all of my own marketing. So I feel like if you come to me, I'm going to guarantee you exposure. I'm not going to sit here and say, oh, yeah, I'm going to get you sold 50 books in 1 month. I don't do that because I feel like I would be lying. I can't guarantee that somebody is going to look at your book cover and want to read your book cover. But I can guarantee that they're going to see it, which is exposure. So that's what I do. And so any author who is interested in getting some exposure, they can definitely hit me up. The AAMBC website is aambookclub.com, or you can simply Google AAMBC. And another element of AAMBC is I developed the AAMBC Literary Awards back in 2009. And the reason why I developed that is because, again, a lot of authors that get awards and recognitions are those established authors. And a lot of times those new authors are left on the back burner. It's like, when can we get a break? When can we get some recognition? So I created the AAMBC Literary Awards, solidified that and branded that so that unknown authors and independent authors can also get that recognition, and they can create some accolades to put into their bios too. So I do that every year, and now I'm going to be doing the AAMBC Literary Awards at the annual Baltimore Urban Book Festival. We just debuted that date for next year, which is going to be May 6th. And we're looking to do like an after party for that too. So it's a lot of stuff that I'm going to be doing. If you ever want to know what NBC is doing, definitely just subscribe to the website at aambookclub.com. And I encourage all authors, try to use something. You know, we do regular interviews. And if you don't want anything but an interview, a book review, we do that too. So there's a lot of stuff you can do.
Definitely. I miss my AAMBC days. I use the Caixa Rodriguez email now, but I think I'm still subscribed
to
the
Miss
Tiger.
You have the Miss Tiger or something like that, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I go back there to be AAMBC, AAM. I'm like, oh, yeah.
I'm still doing it. Like, I spoke to a former street team member the other day, and she's like, you still doing it? I'm like, yeah. I mean, like, what else would I be doing, you know? And, Kyrie told you that, everybody evolves, and, you do things for a certain season. And so I'm just really excited to see the angle that you're going with and things that you're doing to brand yourself. So I never knock any time when somebody works with me or not works with me, I wish them all the best in the world. And I like the fact that you are going out there and you're branding yourself. You're getting beautiful out there finally, because I'm about to punch in your throat, because I've been and told you to really be beautiful, but that's a whole other topic. But you're putting out Beautiful. I'm excited about that. You need to go ahead and put out the sequel, because I read Beautiful like a long time ago, and I want to know what happened. So when the sequel comes out, you're going to have to hit me up so I can read the book.
Well, there's changes in the new Beautiful, so it wouldn't be a reread.
Yeah, there's a lot of changes.
There are big changes in it. So
no, you didn't. I liked it the way that it was.
Well, I mean, it's still the exact story. It's the same storyline, but there were some things that I didn't necessarily hit on. So the majority of the reviews I got, like from you and Jazara and Keisha and, all of the reviews that I got, everyone loved the storyline. Editing was a huge thing for the book, but, I never said where the story was. There was no timeline in the story. This envelope thing, people are going crazy over this envelope. I gave away like 4 chapters, and everyone was like, what's in the envelope? And I was like, I never said what was in the envelope, and I never realized it was such a big question.
I remember that now. You're right. Okay. I'm going to have to reread it.
All of those things have been addressed. So, it's still the same story, but a lot of things that were missing from book one have been added to this new rewrite. And, book two, the sequel is already written. Well, now I got to go back and do the same thing. So as soon as we're done with this one, we'll go back and address all those same issues in book two. So hopefully it won't be that long. Once Tony gets his book out after mine, then we'll work on my sequel and probably our poetry books at the same time. So we're on it now.
Definitely keep it moving, I'm excited. I can't wait to see what y'all doing. Because, I like to be nosy. I'm out there doing myself. I like to see what the fuck's doing, too. So I'm going, I'm looking to see, let me see what they're doing.
You're aspiring to reach them goals you've been hitting already.
People say that, but I'm not there yet. I think I would never be satisfied. If I get to the point where I'm satisfied, and I say, oh, okay, I'm good. I think I'm in a good spot now. I'm going to start getting lazy. So I don't think I'm going to ever be satisfied. I'm going to always strive, for something new.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we got a caller. Let me get our caller on. They've been patiently waiting. 305 area code?
Yes, ma'am.
Hello.
Hello?
Yes.
This would be the king of erotica calling and listen to Tamika run her mouth. What's going on, girl?
Is this great? Get off the phone.
I'm like, wait, the king of erotica. Hold up.
How you doing?
Fight that one out, because I know there's a couple of people running around saying that one.
Oh, that's all right.
I mean, y'all in the ring.
Tamika, my boo boo. She know I love her.
Yeah.
How you doing?
You have a sweet spot for me. I already know that.
And I want to read that new beautiful book, too. I didn't know you revised it. You never told me
that.
Yeah,
I didn't know that either.
I had no clue.
Yeah, I've been kind of
and we
just
talk all the time,
as...
and you didn't tell me that. I'm going to have to choke you, too.
I've been kind of pushing it as a standalone book. You know, I don't want, you know, you kind of don't want to put out there that you screwed up on book one, so this is book two.
You know what? You know what? I don't look at it like that. To even admit you screwed up shows you the bigger person. Because a lot of people put stuff out there knowing they screwed up, try to make you feel bad because you're telling them you screwed up and they don't want to believe it. So I actually respect you. Because I know in my first book, The King One, it was a lot of things I did wrong. I had no idea how to do it. I was homeless.
That, Greg. It was a hot mess.
Oh, shut up. I was homeless at the time. No one told me how to publish a book. No one showed me what to do. So I kind of did it myself. And editors taking $1,000 of my money when I was working, making me think they edited my book. I put it out and found out they didn't do it. So, like Tamika could say, you have to make your mistakes to learn from them to know what to do better next time. That's why I got as big as I have now, learning from that. So what I wanted to tell Tamika is I love you. You inspire me in so many ways. I loved Ultimate No-No. I just got to read the sequel. But I rarely read other people's books because I'm always writing 14 hours a day. But I actually put my writing up to read your book. I got Beautiful already. My homegirl sent it to me a long time ago, so I have that copy still. I just got to read the revision, the new one. But I love both of you. I mean, I love Miss Tiger. I love her to death. I love you, Tamika. And she's been by my side for you.
We about to start something.
She's been by my side for years. She's been by my side for years. Like, before I even had a book or people knew who the king of erotica was, she was by my side, showing me the steps to get my book out there. And those steps she showed me, I have the 11th book coming out. I just won the Reviewer's Choice Award, two of them, actually. I didn't even know I was nominated. That was, like, a total surprise I found out yesterday. So my books do what they do. So I'm going to get ready to go because I have to finish editing. But I just wanted to tell Tamika Newhouse that I love you so much, boo-boo.
I appreciate it. And, you know, I'll see you in a couple weeks.
I'm going to choke you if I don't. I'm looking forward to meeting you.
You know, excuse, who are you talking to?
Tamika Newhouse. I thought I'm talking to Tamika Newhouse.
Wait, but you already met me.
But I ain't never met you, like, face-to-face. That's what I'm talking about. I want to meet you face-to-face.
Okay, I'm confused. Is this boy? Who is this?
You know what? Huh? Somebody
see,
tell
we gonna
her.
Get her.
We're going to
get her.
Yeah, we're
going to
get her.
Wait a minute.
We're going to get her good, too.
Wait a minute. Okay, because, you know, as soon as somebody said King Erotica, I could have sworn, you know, that's who I started thinking about. Then I thought it was somebody else up on here. Why y'all ain't talking to Larry I was talking to?
Yeah, it's Larry.
I thought you knew when he said King One. I was like, that's Larry. Come on. The King of Erotica,
I know,
that's
right?
Larry.
How many King
I
of Eroticas out there?
A lot
tell
of folks
me.
Be trying to, a lot of folks be trying to take that, you know, take that title.
Can't nobody take his
no,
title.
No, no, no. They
Larry's
can't take
title.
That. They take that. I will have them in the court of law so fast they hair to span. They
okay,
won't take.
Why we haven't been on the phone this long, and I didn't know who you. That's a slow moment. Y'all. Can we erase that? That's a rewind. That's a rewind. That don't count.
That's a shame she didn't know she was talking to Larry. My feelings hurt, but she know now. It's all good. I love you. I forgive you.
I mean, hey, you didn't say exactly Larry. I'm a my bad. You know, I know a lot of folks. I be telling folks when I can see
no,
you, guys, please don't take it. Take
a lot of people don't know my name. A lot of people don't know my real name. They just know the Pharaoh 69 already know the King of Erotica. So that's why I said that. But I didn't think you wouldn't know who it was. But you know now.
I know now. That's
so when I meet you, remind me to choke you one time before we take our picture.
Okay, I'll give you that. I'll give you that. I'm gonna give you that one time at one shot, and after that, if you hit me again, it's gonna be on. I'm gonna punch you right in the
face. Oh no! I ain't gonna hit you to hurt you. I ain't gonna hit you to hurt you. I love you too much.
Oh, Lord.
I would never do that. I love you too much.
You know, I've been telling you that I need to meet you in person for like 2 years now. I don't know what
I know,
doing.
Right?
You
I'm gonna
make
it happen
known.
This time. I'm gonna make it happen. It just happened on my hand machine. Cause like you say, you do everything yourself. I do everything myself. Everything, marketing, editing, book for. I put my book together myself. I type it myself. I do my photography. I do everything myself. And sometimes they take me 14 through 20 hours a day. And there's only 24 hours in a day. I barely even sleep. So it's like I always put my time into my product because I stand behind it. So it's not like I don't want to meet anyone. So I have to stop myself because I'm so obsessed with writing. I'm so obsessed with creativity. It's I'm a perfectionist. I'll go back and redo it. I'll go back. I'll read it 20 times, and I'm still not satisfied. Even if a person says brilliant, I'm thinking, no, it could be better. So that's just me. I've always been that way since I was a kid. So I'm kind of disciplined. You have to be disciplined in this business and have a lot of patience, because if you don't have discipline and patience, you might as well kiss it goodbye. It's all about expression. I don't even do it for the money. I do it because I love it. I've been doing this since I was a small child. So before I even knew there was a book business, I was writing. So that's all I know is writing. But I'm not going to take up too much of y'all's time. I got to get. But I just wanted to support Tamika and my other boo-boo.
Thank you.
Oh, and Tamika, I'm gonna be sending you The Kingdom too. My autobiography, the two books I put into one, I redid everything. So I'm going to be sending you a copy of that too. I'll be in touch, and I'm gonna call you. And I'll call you too.
Yeah,
I'm getting a lot of good reviews.
Sure,
I have it. I stored it in my phone, so I'm gonna call you a little later. That's if you're not busy. I don't care if you are busy. I'm going to call you.
Excuse me? How rude.
Oh. It sounds like my sister. She said that. How rude.
That was a demand. My God. Okay. You called my man.
That's more like a brotherly demand. So it's no harm done. But I love
you
both.
You put it like that. Okay.
Y'all love you both.
I love you too, sir. And thank you for calling
and
listening in. I appreciate
Of course. I've been listening forever. I've been listening. I learned a lot of stuff. And I actually took a couple of notes on some things Tamika said that I'm going to research myself. So she has a lot of knowledge. So before I go, just know, Tamika, you're our queen. I'm very proud of you. Very, very proud of you. Not too many black women I know is that fierce and that passionate about what they do, and you are very passionate. I got my first award from you, the Male Author of the Year, and I'm always going to be incredibly in debt to you for that, because my family holds on to that. They brag about it to everybody. We could be in the store, my son won Male Author of the Year. I'm like, oh, my God, Mama, we trying to grocery shop. So I'm very proud of you, Tamika, and you keep up the good work, and you too, to my other boo-boos.
Thank you.
I love you both.
Thank you. Keep it going.
And when I read that new copy of Beautiful, I'll be in touch with you also so I can tell you what I think about it. Cause I loved the first one. With the mistakes, I loved it. It's very rare you read a book with mistakes and it's still good. She know I love her because she's the same way with me.
I take critiques. I love critiques. Be honest with me. Don't sugarcoat it.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. You know I don't sugarcoat at all. I hate sugar sometimes. I use salt.
Well, I guess you're not going to like me because all of me is sweet.
You know what? Oh, I'm going to love you. I like your kind of sweet.
Thank you very much.
This is a daytime show. Is this a family show? My bad.
I love y'all. I love y'all very much, and thank you for your time, and I love you, Tamika.
Thank you, Larry, and I'll talk to you soon.
I know you will, because I'm calling you.
Oh, Lord.
I got the number, so you got to answer the... I got the digits, so you got to answer the phone, Miss Thang. I love you.
All right, thank you, sir.
All right, Larry, thank you so much, sir.
Of course. I'm always there for y'all. Just holler at me.
All right. Larry is the best. We go back, like me and you, Mika, back to MySpace days, back to where we were posting poetry, and we had poets. I got poetry for days from back in the MySpace days when MySpace was big. MySpace page?
It's still up, but I haven't logged in about 2 years, but it's still up there. It comes up in the Google search sometimes, and they got my book covers and stuff on there, you know, the old ones.
I just started using mine again. I'm like, you know, there's so much, like, you know, I like to be able to decorate my page. And, you know,
right.
I can put my little flippy, sparkly pictures, and, you know, flipper banners up that link back to, you know, my website and stuff. So you know, I still like MySpace. I'm just starting.
Yeah, I think I'm
going to
go back there because, you know, a lot of folks is on Facebook and ain't that many people on MySpace. So when I start promoting my book, ain't nobody else going to be on there but me.
There's a lot, but surprisingly, there's, like, now it seems to be authors and musicians. I don't know how many people are actually active, but, like, you know, and stars. Like, I keep getting, you know, their suggestions are, like, every star in the world or every rapper or, you know, singer, and then there's authors. You don't, I don't get, you know, requests from, like, just Tom George. You know,
oh, like regular people. Oh, where you gonna put me going over there then?
I'm like,
I ain't trying to promote
everybody's on Facebook,
I'm not trying to promote the authors, you know. Well, I'm going in for NBC purposes, but, you know, I'm not trying to promote the other authors, you know. We don't buy each other's books more than half the time.
Unfortunately.
You know?
Yeah, unfortunately, which is crazy because we still need to be reading. You know, we still need to be reading. We still need to see what else is out there, what other stories are out there so that we know. I got to hurry up and get Beautiful out because I was telling somebody else the other day, you know, it's been so long, and I want to, okay, did so-and-so read my book? Because so-and-so's book has got this part in it that my book has. That book got that, has this in it, that, you know, and I don't want to seem like, you know, now my book is copying off of everybody else's book that I've done read and reviewed because now my, but I'm like, okay, my book came out in 2007, so you can go back to the original book and see that that was in there at that time. What would you say to our authors that are listening? What is one, besides research, which may be your answer, you know, what is the most important thing that they should do as a potential author?
As a potential author, besides research, obviously, consistency. My thing is if you work hardcore for 8 months, because for when you get into this thing, you're all excited, you want folks to read your book, you know, things like that, then reality sets in. I'm going to have to do more than just post my book on Facebook. That's when reality sets in. And you know, when you read some of my books and that Facebook stuff ain't working. So my thing is you need to have consistency, creativity, and you don't want to work hardcore for 8 months and then burn out and get tired. Don't do anything for a couple months and try to pick it back up because, lo and behold, you may have to start all the way back over. So my thing is as long as you keep consistent, I feel like that you should definitely make it. But definitely be creative. You step outside the box. Don't do everything that everybody else is doing. Don't go to all the same places that everybody else is going. You know, do something unique. Go to music festivals. Go to comedy clubs. You know, go do something different. Go to lounges. You know, go where books aren't sold. Go in some of those salons and those barbershops and things like that. When they're doing, like, the Martin Luther King parades, there's a whole bunch of black folks out doing Martin Luther King Day. Make sure you go out there then, and in February is Black History Month. Go to the colleges and see what programs and things that they're doing. If they, you know, if you can go and vend at one of their football games for homecoming or something, you know, be creative and get out there and be consistent. That's all I got to say.
Yeah, that's one of my new thing is think outside the box.
Yes.
Outside the box. We got a couple
and
more
then,
callers.
And then when you get in that box, think outside that box.
We got another caller, 646 area code.
Hello?
Hello.
Hey, how you doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing good. I just want to give a call in real fast and commend Tamika on the hard work and helping independent authors like myself get ahead with people, you know, dedicated and determined like her to help out other people, not only herself because she's an author herself, but she goes that extra mile to really help out people accomplish their dreams. And I, you know, as an author, I really appreciate that.
Now,
Thank you.
What's your name?
This is
Greg. Okay.
Listen, this is Greg, y'all,
because
I was wrong the first time.
Yeah, this is Greg. Greg has never said he's the king of erotica. I just wanted to put that out there.
I mean, you always talking about erotica this and erotica that and you, something you be talking about, you know,
well,
so I thought that was you.
Well, no, the book is erotica, but, you know, I work with other genres, too. But, I really want to call and just make sure that everybody understood that, you know, you're just not talking best, that you really go out there and help people accomplish whatever dream they have. You know, there's only so much you can do for somebody, but I think you do enough to if that person has a goal, if he has or he or she has ambition or goals, that you, and if they tell you, you'd be like, oh, you know, I can help you with this. And you do your part, and then you keep it moving. And then I think that's
yeah.
a great thing because,
yeah.
only, you know, everybody can only do so much. I try to help out people. You try to help out people. And that's how we succeed. We network and we make things happen. And I really appreciate
right.
you for your part in this game.
Thank you, Greg. I surely appreciate it. I like to get the thank yous because sometimes I don't get them, you know, and then sometimes I don't think that people are appreciative, you know, when I lose sleep or when I'm promoting other people's books, knowing that I'm an author too and I'm not promoting mine. And so I like to, you know, it makes me happy when people say thank you. I appreciate it.
No problem at all. I'll see you in a couple. No, I'll see you next week, actually, right?
Is it next week? No, I ain't, oh,
yeah.
oh, you're gonna be at the BEA week. You're going to be up there for all those stuff that's going
yeah,
on?
Yeah, I'm going by there Thursday. I have a day off Thursday, so I'm going to spend the whole day up there Thursday. I may try to get off a couple hours earlier throughout the week to try to go by there, but I know for sure I'm going to spend the whole day out there Thursday.
Oh, okay. Well, you know Thursday's the last day, so on the last day people be packing up and leaving by, like, noon.
Oh, serious?
Yeah, you for the book and for the BEA, yeah. So
yeah,
go up there still. Don't go by Tamika's where. That's like I said before. I may tell you something, but make sure you research it.
So thank you, Greg, and everybody.
No
make sure you check out his book too. Greg, make sure you post your URL and the website as. I mean,
I'm
in the
not
chat
trying
room,
to.
So
I'm
can
not
all...
doing that right now. I'm just doing this for Tamika. Now y'all know me.
I
like
know,
the market, but I'm not
we
gonna do it right
now.
We are
a free for all. Tamika is not selfish.
Not
yeah,
at all. And
not.
I would say Greg wrote the book "What Happens Overseas Stays Overseas," and then he also got this new book. It kind of looked like a puzzle. What's the name of the book?
Yes, I can't wait for that one.
What's
yeah,
that one, else, Greg?
Fool's Eye. It's at the editors right now. Me and her fighting over
Ooh.
A couple things. But
I can't wait for that. When
done.
That cover got me, that right there is another cover.
Yeah, that
is going to spell that book.
Yeah, when sales. I thought I said, dang, why ain't come up with that concept?
Hey, slow down now. Slow down. hey, listen, just in case, I'll do a little marketing, free plug. I'll be in South Carolina Saturday. Black Expo, if anybody's going to be out there, come out there and support all the great people that's going to be out there. This is just my little free plug I want
to
throw out.
Yeah, you're going to have to let me know how that go, too. I told you that before. Let me know how that go, because, you know, I'll be looking for stuff to do, too. You and Michelle be everywhere. I'm start traveling with y'all. Kids in a bus stand or something.
There you go. Well, thanks, Greg.
Yeah,
we got one more caller. Let's get our
right,
other
thanks,
caller
lady.
On. You're welcome. 254 area code. You are on live with Tony Kyle.
Oh,
Kai
I know
and
who
Hello, Tamika.
Hi, Mel.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you doing? How you doing?
I'm fine. I'm fine. I had to. This is Anna Black. Yeah, hello. Hey, Greg.
Hello.
I heard you just a minute ago. I just wanted to stop by and give my employer, rather, some love.
Oh, Lord.
As y'all know, I'm under Delphine, and this girl right here is truly, truly, truly a go-getter. I'm telling you, I have worked side by side with this woman. People, if you're listening, listen to her. She gets around, she gets it done, and she gets you out there. So I just wanted to tell
oh,
her.
Oh, I get around? You make me sound like I'm hot.
You know what?
Do we use another lingo?
No, let's fix that. Then when I say she gets around, she's everywhere she can be. And this girl, she worked hard. So, I can just truly tell y'all, whatever word of advice she has, 9 times out of 10, follow it because she can get your book sold. She can get you out there. She can get you exposure. I know that firsthand under Delphine. So I just wanted to congratulate her, give her some props, and show some love and support.
Thank you, Ann. I appreciate it. That's my road dog. Yeah, this is Anna Black. Now, let me plug her in because she on the Delphine. That's our brand. That's Anna Black. She got the book Luck of the Draw, and Now You Want to Come Back. Top sellers right now. Anna sold almost 1,500 ebooks alone this month, which, you know, I have to brag about that because, you know, that's one of my authors. So I want y'all to go out there and try to support her as well. You can find her at annablack.net. And then her new book will be coming out in April. She has a book that's going to be coming out every April. So make sure y'all go out and support her. Because she's part of my family, and if my family eats, I mean, I eat too, and I'm hungry.
There it is.
Is it one A or two A's in her name?
It's two N's. A-N-N-A, black.net.
All right, there we go. There we go. Oh, I spelled her name right. Then when I went to write the website, I put one in.
Okay, nah.
I'll be okay.
That's a slow moment. We both had a slow moment on the show, so I think we're even.
We've got a couple of minutes left, so, you know, take a couple of minutes, Meek, and say, you know, give everybody your website. We've posted them, but go ahead and give them some anyway, the titles of your books, you know, whatever information that you would like them to know about you to take away.
Well, I really want you guys to go out and support my latest release, Cookie, A Footwork Story, Based on a True Story. It's out as an ebook now on all e-readers available. It's also on Kindle for $2.99, so make sure that you go out there and cop that. It's a blend of, it has a Christian storyline, it deals with teen sex and drugs and everything up under the sun. It's a true story, so it's life, and I really want people to go out there and support this book. And then Cookie 2 will be coming out in September. I know people were asking if it's going to be coming out the same time as Cookie. It's not. It's been pushed back to September. But definitely go on my website, check me out, it's my name, everything is my name, TamikaNewhouse.com is my website, Tamika spelled with an I, not an E. My publishing house, you can go to Delphine Publications, and Delphine is spelled D-E-L-P-H-I-N-E, again, that's Delphine Publications with an S.com, and again, for all the artists who are interested in doing some exposure, interviews, book reviews, all that, and then some, go to aambookclub.com. And also check out the conference that I do every year now, the Baltimore Urban Book Festival. You can go to baltimoreurbanbookfestival.com as well. You can check out our good stuff there as well. But I'm on Facebook, I'm on Twitter. Everything is my name, so definitely hit me up, and please go out there and try to support me. I really, really appreciate it, Pretty Please, with Sugar on Top.
There you go. We're going to have to grab that Kindle. My boo got me my Kindle for Valentine's Day, and, you know, I've been loving it. So, you know, that instant book, you know, I do like my books. I do love my hard copy. You know, I'm like that commercial. No, I like the joy of turning the page.
Right. Oh,
I like my actual books. You know, I like to be able to write in them and say, okay, this is wrong. I like that. You know, especially when I'm going to do a review, you know, I want to be able to write on the page and say, okay, make sure you ask her this question and make sure you ask
right.
that. So I love my actual book. But for that instant, get it right now, I love my Kindle as well.
Mm-mm. When I get on the plane, I have my regular book, and I see those people at the cutoff, they're e-readers. I start laughing. I'm like, ha-ha, I can still read. Maybe you should go back to the paperback.
Yes, see.
Well, Pa, I really appreciate you having me on. I really enjoyed myself. I hope I didn't act up, you know, too much. You know, I hope I did a little something, you know, and offered some great advice. And, Tony, you know, I appreciate you, too. If you can handle Kai, then you good in my book. I think you good. I think you can have – you good to go. You in my circle now. You know, if you can handle Kai, you good to go.
I really do. I appreciate it.
You know, you and Lisa, y'all need to stop messing up my name. Y'all got people thinking that I'm some crazy psycho person.
I ain't say nothing. You said that, see? Guilty. Okay. Guilty.
Thank you, Tamika. Appreciate that.
Yes, thank you so much. Thank you for everyone, for all of our callers, those that are listening in on the phone, those that are in the chat room, and those that are just listening from the computer. We totally love and appreciate all of your support, whether for us or for Mika. Either way, you tuned in, and we appreciate you. Monday, we're going to have our first musician on the show. His music is what played the beginning of this show and the beginning of Monday. Show. Actually, we have from out of the country, so we actually have our first musician and our out of the country artist guest. So tune in for that. John Mark is his name. He's a gospel artist. Followed by the next Monday, we have a gospel artist from Iceland. So Tony and Kai are doing really big things. We thank you guys so much for your support.
We love you all, and we say God bless, and we'll see you on Monday.
There you go.
Have a good night.
Good night, everyone.